Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about the highest purpose in life. You know, during the Iraq War, for camouflage purposes, a division of soldiers had to repaint the Humvees, you know, to a color that surrounded in the surrounding sand so they wouldn't stand out. The result was that the Humvees suddenly acquired a distinct pinkish cast. As you can imagine, this became quite a source of humor for the soldiers. Someone even made a bumper sticker for one of these Humvees and put it on the back of the Humvee, and it read, "Ask me about Mary Kay." Human beings are so creative, particularly when it comes to humor. We can see evidences of that creativity everywhere, even on the bumper stickers of our cars. Here are some bumper stickers, I think, that are somewhat thoughtful and yet somewhat humorous at the same time. Here's one, "If you lived in your car, you'd be home now." I have a question about this one. "Want to taste religion? Write a preacher." Here's one. "Someday we'll look back on all this and plow into a parked car." Some of them are philosophical, like the one that says, "What if the hokey pokey is really all what it's all about?" A political one. "In America, anyone can be president. That's one of the risks you take." Here's one with an attitude. "I don't care what you love or what your other car is or who you brake for or what you'd rather be doing." Here's a clever one. "Never hit a man with glasses. Hit him with a baseball bat." And this one, "Honk if you like peace and quiet." Seen on the back of a biker's jacket, "If you can read this, my wife fell off." And that one speaks volumes, and one that speaks volumes about life is boldly going nowhere. Think about that for a moment. Lots of people think about life today, you know, that's boldly going nowhere. As someone once said, it's important to learn the difference between motion and direction. Just because we're on the go doesn't mean we're going anywhere worthwhile. What's the difference between motion and direction? The word is purpose. Motion is simply movement. Direction is motion harnessed to a purpose. It's like one of those absurd cartoons which appeared in the New Yorker magazine a few years back. It showed a man running toward the end of the rainbow only to discover that at the end of the rainbow was a pot of baked beans. And that's how it is for many people. They spend their lives chasing after the elusive pot of gold only to discover that it's a pot of beans. In other words, many of us pursue the perks of life instead of the purpose of life. We boldly go somewhere only to discover it wasn't worth the trip. Robert Oppenheimer knew about life's perks. Robert Oppenheimer was born in 1904 in New York City. He was fascinated from a young age with science. He was admitted to Harvard at the age of 18 and graduated 3 years later with honors. He studied in the finest schools in Europe prior to beginning a teaching career at the California Institute of Technology. He was considered one of the top 10 theoretical physicists in the world today. And then something happened that would forever change Robert Oppenheimer's life. He was chosen to oversee a team of 4,500 men and women charged with the responsibility of developing the first atomic bomb. 2 years and $2 billion later, that bomb exploded over a place called Hiroshima. Robert Oppenheimer had reached the end of the rainbow. Was he delighted, elated, and not at all? He discovered that the treasure was worse than the pot of baked beans. He had created the ultimate nightmare. When he saw what he had created, he began to examine his values and where his intellect had led him. In 2 short months later, he resigned his position at Los Alamos, and he spent most of the remainder of his life trying to undo what he had done. But of course, it was too late. The world would never be the same after humanity had found the bomb. Contrast Robert Oppenheimer's story with that of actress Dolores Hart. In 1963, Dolores Hart was a hot commodity in Hollywood. She was beautiful and talented. She had even starred opposite Elvis Presley in the movie King Creole. She seemed destined for success, but Dolores upset everyone's expectations when, at the height of her career, she left show business to become a nun. She said later that she never regretted giving up the glamorous life. In a visit years later with the writer Marianne O'Rourke, Mother Dolores said, "I looked in a mirror one day and I realized that if my sense of worth and fulfillment was based on my looks and youth, it was all short-lived. And I sensed there was something more, much more to life. And I was right." What a wise decision for someone so young. Dolores Hart had everything we think is worth striving for. She was young, beautiful, famous, and wealthy. But she found it was all as worthwhile as a pot of beans. In the midst of her motion, she finally found direction, and she exchanged her life's perks for its purpose. We all reach a point in life when we must evaluate what it is we're living for. Most of us reach that place gradually. Some of us, on the other hand, reach that point of evaluating our life quite suddenly due to a sudden crisis in our lives. Rather than a slow evolution, we find ourselves rudely awakened. When best-selling author John Grisham was in his 20s, he learned that his best friend was dying of cancer. Later, in an interview, Grisham said, "I couldn't believe it." He asked his friend, "What do you do when you realize that you're about to die?" And his friend said, "It's real simple. You get things right with God, and you spend as much time with those that you love that you can. And then you settle up with everybody else." Then his friend added, "You know, really, you ought to live every day like you have only a few more days left to live." He's so right. When you're about to lose all the perks, you realize you should have spent more time in your life on the purpose. The Apostle Paul understood that very, very thing in his life. His life evaluation moment was sudden and significant, that he found it necessary to change his name just to express the difference in his life. Paul, whose given name was Saul, had a very comfy position in life until he met Jesus. Saul was from a prominent Jewish family. He was a member of the Pharisees, the Jewish ruling council. We can assume that Saul was well respected among his other Jews. He was sincere in his observance of Jewish laws and customs, keeping himself far away from impurity. And he was zealous in his persecution of that new sect called the Christians. No doubts kept him up nights. He knew who he was and where he was going and what life was all about for him, until he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. We read in Acts, the 9th chapter, that Saul was on his way to persecute even more Christians when he was blinded by a bright light and he heard the voice of Jesus call to him. A few days later, healed of the blindness, he was brought to the home of a Christian man. As soon as Saul, now known as Paul, regained his sight, he was a changed man. He began telling everyone that Jesus is the Son of God. And this was the end of Paul's comfy life. We read in Acts, the 9th chapter, in the 23rd verse, that after a while, the Jewish leaders determined to kill him. The Jewish leaders, Paul's old friends and colleagues, his brothers in the faith, had turned against him. And because of his newfound faith in Jesus, they were determined to kill him. If Paul's experience was anything like the experience of the persecuted Christians around the world, he lost more than just friends. He probably lost his family, his job, his home, and his reputation. And that was just the beginning. As a Christian preacher, Paul was continually harassed and threatened and beaten and thrown into jail. Read through the book of Philippians sometime and notice his joyful tone. And then remember that Paul wrote this letter from a musty prison cell. This was a man who had lost everything. But don't start feeling sorry for him yet. In our scripture for this morning, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 8th through the 14th verses, Paul writes, "But whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Notice the word that Paul uses in this passage is surpassing greatness. In the Greek, it is the word hyper-etch. Hyper meaning above and transcending. Etch has many meanings, but one of those is possession. And Paul is saying that knowing Jesus is the greatest possession in the world. He may have lost every other thing, tangible and intangible, that was dear to him, but in their place he found the one possession that was greater than all the others, and that is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, Pastor Bob Moorhead wrote a declaration of his own faith. Here are some of the excerpts from that faith. He writes, "I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed." Of course, here he's talking about the church. "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My past is redeemed and my present makes sense and my future is secure. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, and popularity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't give up, shut up, let up, or slow up until I've preached up, paid up, prayed up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. And I must go till he comes, give till I drop, and preach till all know. And when Jesus comes to get his own, he'll have no trouble recognizing me. My colors will be clear because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. What about us? Are we still chasing preeminence and prosperity and position and promotions and plaudits and popularity? Are we striving for the perks in life, or are we striving after its purpose? In 1960, Adolf Kors III, the powerful head of the Adolf Kors Company, was kidnapped and murdered. His family, and especially his oldest son, Adolf IV, were in shock. For years afterwards, the younger Adolf Kors wandered aimlessly through life. Finally, he went to work for the Kors Company, only to be assigned the most menial and humiliating jobs. Finally, he worked his way up to vice president's position. He had the wealth and the power that were the birthright of the Kors family. Along the way, Adolf became a Christian. As part of his new life, he wrote a note for forgiveness to his father's killer. And finally, in 1979, he was offered the promotion that he had always dreamed of in his company. But suddenly, Adolf Kors IV wasn't sure he wanted it. He began evaluating his life and his priority in terms of his faith, and suddenly the perks no longer seemed to have a purpose. So Adolf left behind the job he had tried for all his life. Today, he tours the country telling others of his journey of faith in the Christian life. There will come a time in everybody's life when we must evaluate our purpose for life. Are we here to grab all the gusto we can get? If we were to lose everything tomorrow, this is a very important thing to think about. If we were to lose everything tomorrow, our job, our friends, our family, our security, would we have anything left? Many people down through history have lost everything for the sake of Christ, and they testify to the fact that he is worth it. Knowing Jesus, knowing his power and his promises, and the hope of eternal life with him is the highest purpose in life. It is the possession that transcends all possessions. May we all discover this and the surpassing greatness of Christ in our own lives today and in the future. In a time of silent prayer, let's all of us dedicate or rededicate our lives to God. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins of the past, and help me with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning. Forgive all of our sins and mistakes of the past, and help us with the living of our lives today and tomorrow and in the future. Bless each and every one of us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.